Right. Welcome, everybody. I now call upon the Chief Executive Officer to repeat the prayer.
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Now I declare the meeting opening of the 26th of November 2019. Are there any apologies, CEO?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. Question time for the public. Are there any questions, or have there been any questions lodged, or are there any members of the public that wish to ask a question?
Through you, Chair, there haven't been any questions lodged.
Thank you, CEO. Are there questions from the floor at all? No? That's good. Okay, then we can officially move on to deputations. CEO, have we received any applications for deputations?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner. Deputations have been received in relation to item 13.1, which is 98 to 100 or Lot 81 Brown Street, East Perth, and the proposed outdoor dining area, etc., etc. The first one is Vicky Lee, a resident, and the second one is Ingrid Maher from Planning Solutions.
Please come forward, Vicky. Good evening, welcome. Could you please state your full name and address?
Good evening, Vicky Lee, 115 Brown Street, East Perth.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to take this opportunity to speak to the council regarding the application for the alfresco area. One of my main concerns is parking in the area. I think the council's fully aware of the number of car parks around the alfresco area. It was stated by the council and Bright Tank that there is over 600 parking spots within the vicinity, but unfortunately within the vicinity it's quite a walking distance to the venue. I have noticed recently that a lot of people are parking in our street and in our area. We do have R3 zoning and we do have Area 3 parking permits, but as they are not resident-only parking spots, anyone can park there. And I have actually noticed people parking there going to the venue. Now, also, one of the things that I am proposing is that the council makes that R3 zoning resident-only parking when they have an Area 3 permit, because anyone can park there at the moment, and we only have certain sections that we are allowed to use that permit in. So if one of the patrons or some of the patrons or people even attending the stadium park in that area, then we have nowhere to park. So that is one of my main concerns. The fact that there will be an additional 40 patrons attending the alfresco area, this will also impact, in my mind, quite significantly on the parking that's available there at the moment. It was stated by Bright Tank that only one of their vehicles normally parks in front of their venue, but I have photos and quite often there is two or three cars parked where the proposed alfresco area will be going. So they will be also being gone to the street, and they will be also in their proposal taking one of those parking bays away. There is only very limited parking spots for all the high-rise people and myself and others that live there. I've come home at night time and not been able to find parking anywhere near my apartment, and I find this a safety issue at night. So that is one of my main objections, or one of my main reasons. They also did state that the yellow cab bus and train would get patrons to there, but they must be aware that the yellow cab bus stops at 7:13 p.m. on weekdays, 8:45 on Saturday and 6:50pm on Sundays. So that is not an option for patrons to use to get home. When there is functions on at the stadium, and a lot of people that do attend the brewery do go to the functions at the stadium, the trains, most of the trains do not stop at Clay's Brook Station. So obviously people will drive and go from there. And I've noticed that people are now realising they can park there, go to the venue and make their way over to the stadium. A couple of other things. Noise is an issue. I'm just wondering what they're going to implement as controls for people when they're leaving the venue. We have had issues before, but, you know, we've actually not put in complaints in because, you know, it's gone ahead, the original proposal. We were told that the noise would be kept behind glass doors during the hours of trading, and now that it's going to go outdoors, I can't see how that's possibly going to stop the noise. I live very close to the venue. I'm only about five houses down from it, and I can guarantee that it wouldn't matter how you implement, if it's an outdoor area, the noise will travel. Another thing I want to raise is smoking. At the moment, the patrons smoke outside the venue on their property, out in the, where the proposed alfresco area is. They will need to be smoking down the street, and there are residents either side of that venue, and that means that they wouldn't be able to open their doors or windows if that was the case. That's
Pretty much it. Thank you very much for your deputation.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next deputation on this subject is Ingrid Maher from Planning Solutions. Please come forward, Ingrid, and state your full name and address.
Thank you, Commissioners. Hello again. You may remember me from last week's agenda briefing session. I'm Ingrid Maher from Planning Solutions, the applicant for item 13.1. I'm speaking in support of item 13.1 and to ensure you have all the information you need to make a preferable decision with respect to the proposed outdoor dining at Bright Tank Brewing Co. in East Perth. I'm also joined by Gemma Sampson from Bright Tank, who will be available to answer questions following my presentation. A briefing note to the Commissioners was sent through yesterday. If you did not receive a copy, I have extra hard copies if needed. Have you? Yep. I trust you've all read the briefing note and the officer's comprehensive reporting and recommendations relating to this application. I acknowledge the objections raised by Vicky Lee earlier. I'll just address a couple of those just briefly for you.
It's probably not appropriate to sort of debate what somebody else has said.
Absolutely.
The deputations are for consideration by the commissioners,
okay.
And we should take what is said on their value alone.
Thank you. I was just going to say, therefore, I'll keep this short by saying we fully support the officer's recommendation and recommended conditions of approval, which in our view will provide for a positive and balanced outcome for our local business and the surrounding community. Thank you for your time. We'll be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you. CEO, are there any commissioners requesting leave of absence?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. We now move to the confirmation of minutes from the previous meetings. Would somebody be prepared to move the confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 29th of October 2009 and is a true and correct record? Thank you, Councillor Kosova. Seconded, Commissioner McMath. There being no objections, could I put that, please? All those in favour? Thank you. Motion is carried. Okay, next to the announcements by the Chair Commissioner. You will note on the agenda this evening that the commissioners are about to appoint appropriately qualified consultant to oversee the recruitment of a new Chief Executive Officer for the City of Perth. This certainly does not come as a result of the performance of our existing CEO, who's done an absolutely outstanding job in what have been incredibly difficult circumstances. The process we are now going through is a process of normalisation, where as the commissioners will move towards the transition back to an elected council, we have now a full suite of highly qualified general managers that are running the overall departments and divisions of the local government. And now it is time to pursue the recruitment of a chief executive officer who will guide the city of Perth over what will be a very exciting period over the next 5 or so years. And in doing so, be able to do that in an administration and governance framework that the commissioners believe is much improved from days gone by. So we will be fully transparent with the process involved with the recruitment of the chief executive, and you will find at the next council meeting the process, the contract of employment and other relevant information will be placed on the public record, and from there a recruitment process will commence, I would imagine, late January or early February. The commissioners then will undertake the necessary due diligence, interviews, reference checking, etc., facilitated by our executive recruitment consultant, and we would hope to make an appointment to the position in late March to early April. From that time on, we would see that given a normal notice requirement of 2 to 3 months of a chief executive officer, we could anticipate the commencement of the new chief executive officer early in the 2020-21 financial year. So, and that, as commissioners go, we see as one of our most important tasks, and one that we hope will carry on the legacy of the good work not only of the staff but of the commissioners in restoring good governance to the City of Perth. CEO, do we have any questions of which due notice have been given?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
CEO, does any commissioner or employee wish to disclose an interest and its nature in any item contained within the agenda? Commissioner Kotova.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner, I disclose a impartiality interest in item 13.18. The title of the report is the Moore Stevens Financial Management Review. I equally disclosed an interest on that item at the Audit and Risk Committee last week. The nature of my interest is simply that a close friend of mine is a director in the audit team at Moore Stevens Perth, and Moore Stevens is the company that conducted the financial management review in this instance. To the best of my knowledge, my friend had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Thank you for that declaration, Commissioner Kosova. Do I have any other declarations? No. Okay, well, we can move on to the next item, which... let's just run out. Has any correspondence been received, CEO?
Over and above all the normal correspondence, there has been a particular item received from the Australian Hotels Association in relation to the Northbridge Special Entertainment Area, and that has been distributed separately to commissioners.
Thank you, CEO. CEO, are there any petitions being received?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
CEO, are there any matters from which the meeting may be closed?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner, I'll just call those out to you. As I said, yes, Chair, Commissioner, in accordance with Section 523(2) of the Local Government Act and to preserve the confidentiality of attachments 1312B, 1313B, 1314C, 1315A, 1315B, 1320B, 1320D, 1321A, B and C. It is recommended the meeting be closed to the public prior to consideration of these matters. I won't go through all the items individually.
No, thank you. Thank you. Now we move to the reports. In relation to on a block motions, would somebody move that with the exception of items 13.1, sorry, exception of items 13.4, 13.5, 13.10, 13.11, 13.19, 13.22. I'm sorry, my apologies, I have got that incorrect. Can I... I'll just...
It's with the exception of all of those items.
Yeah, okay, thanks. So 13, 4 needs to go. Okay. Okay, let's have another go. Would somebody move that with the exception of items 13.1, 13.5, 13.10, 13.11, 13.12, 13.13, 13.14, 13.15, 13.19, 13.20, 13.21 and 13.22, which are to be considered separately, the officer's recommendations for the remaining items, 13.2, 13.3, 13.6, 13.7, 13.8, 13.9, 13.16, 13.17 and 13.18 be adopted by Council on block.
And 13.4?
No, that's... No,
did you take it out of there? I did.
Yep. Is somebody prepared to move? Thank you, Commissioner McMath, Commissioner Kosova. Put that, please. Those in favour? Okay, moving on to reports now. We move on to item 13.1, the development. My apologies, I just had a bit of a technet. Now we're on 13.1, the proposed outdoor dining area in the forecourt of the property, including associated minor external works to an existing microbrewery. We have a recommendation on page 1 of the agenda. Do I have a mover?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath.
Happy to second.
Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. Commissioner McMath, would you like to speak for the motion?
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. I would like to speak in favour of the motion overall. I would like to also, on the basis of activation, and diversity within the precinct of Brown Street. But I also would like to be cognizant of the issues raised with respect to the impact on parking in the area. And Chair, I don't know if this would need to therefore be picked up as an amended motion, but would certainly encourage the city to look at the impact of parking more generally in the vicinity in addressing the overall management of the precinct.
Okay, I can be guided by Mrs. Smith with regards to this. Is it appropriate perhaps for a footnote that that the issue of the residential permits is something that might be reviewed, as is, I guess, enforcement and general review of the situation. Now, do you have any feedback on that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Commissioner, the designated parking areas are created under our parking local law and residential parking policy.
Yes.
There would be an ability to review the designated parking that applies to that particular precinct if the extent of residential parking was to be looked at. In terms of dealing with that, that could be a part two of the current recommendation instructing the administration to review those particular requirements. It wouldn't be an appropriate condition of planning.
No, yeah. As such, are you happy with that, Commissioner?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Commissioner Kassava, do you have any comments?
No, Chair. Commissioner, other than to, if that additional aspect is going to be added to the recommendation, then I'd be happy to second that amendment.
Okay. Could we please just have some confirmation of what that addition might be for the purpose of the minutes? Sorry to put you on the spot. Yeah.
That the council... that the council requests that the administration review the extent of the designated parking area in the Bones precinct.
Thank you. Commissioners, are you happy with that approach?
Thank you, Chair.
Just to confirm, that is not a condition of development approval. It is a totally separate motion. Okay, if you happy, minute taker? Okay, thank you. Then, Commissioner McMath, would you like to close the debate?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, if that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour, please. Carried 3-0. Okay, next item is item 3.3, Key Sector Development Sponsorship, XRWA. What's that doing there then? It's on the running sheet. Okay. Oh, I don't understand. I'll start away from the running sheet.
13.3 was on the block. 13.4 you
Is there a page number or anything on it?
No. The volume 4 is page 74.
Page
74.
Okay, thank you.
It's 13.4.
Yeah, okay.
Which was the one that was...
Yeah, we'll need to deal with item 13.4, which is the business event sponsorship round 2. Councillors, anybody prepared to move the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Thank you, Commissioner Kassava. Is there any debate?
No, Chair.
Commissioner Kassava? Okay, thank you. If that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you. 3-0. Moving on to the next item is 13.5, the designated site City of Perth accreditation of homelessness services within the public REM 12-month trial. Would anybody like to move this motion?
Thank you, Chair. I'd be pleased to move this motion.
Thank you very much, Commissioner McMath. Thank you, Commissioner Cassava. Before we start debating this item, could I just place on the record for the minutes and those in attendance acknowledge the absolutely fine and tireless efforts of Commissioner McMath in dealing with the issue of homelessness across Perth and indeed the inner metropolitan area, and truly hope that her efforts in this regard come to fruition with a long-term solution to the problem. So well done, Commissioner McMath. Would you like to speak for the motion, Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for those kind words. I'd also like to acknowledge the efforts of the City of Perth staff in progressing this particularly important items with respect to identifying the designated site for the City of Perth accreditation of homelessness services within the public realm. As you can see from the papers, this has been an exhaustive process. And the recommendation, I think, whilst certainly will require further stakeholder engagement with respect to those in the immediate vicinity, has the highest level of success for the 12-month trial. There are two issues, though, that I would seek clarification on. Noting in the paper the proposed costings that relate to the provision of infrastructure services in this area. I do have a question regarding shelter to be provided for the accredited service providers to dispense their services, and also seating for the clients who receive the services in the area. I couldn't see any provision for that in the costings that were given. However, they might be included in a more generic item.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think it's appropriate to seek advice from staff, CEO. So, Mr. Kent, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Commissioner. The Commissioner's observation about the costings that are referenced in this particular report are quite correct, that those items hadn't been excluded, but as we progress further through the agenda and we get to the targeted cost savings initiative report, you will see that the allocation that was allocated for the Commissioners to address homelessness-related issues has adequate comfort in there to address those additional costs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kent.
Thank you, Chair. That concludes my question.
Thank you. Commissioner Cassava, are you prepared to second?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner McMath, you wish to speak for the motion?
To add my full support for the motion, Chair, I'm delighted to see this progress on the basis of the ongoing engagement with stakeholders to ensure its success. Thank you.
Commissioner Cassava.
Through you, Chair, Commissioner, only to echo your comments earlier and those raised by Commissioner McMath, and so job well done to everyone involved.
Thank you. Commissioner McMath, you used to close the debate?
Thank you, Chair, I'll close the debate.
Okay, thank you. And that's, if that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion's carried 3-0. Now the next one, 157, thank you. Next item is budget review, targeted cost savings initiative. And that is a motion that I'd like to move, and that Council amends the 2019-20 adopted budget by endorsing the budget variations detailed in the current attachments, and approves the transfer of $1.435 million to the Enterprise and Initiative Reserve in accordance with the resolution from item 7.1 from the Special Council meeting held on 3rd of October 2019. Is any commissioner prepared to second that motion? Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. The reason I moved this motion was because, obviously, having been here since day one, one of the issues that the commissioners faced was the overall financial sustainability of the city, the ability of the council reporting systems to be able to advise both the executive and the council on what the current and strategic financial position of the city was. And in doing so, also look at ways where the recurrent expenditure could be reduced so as not to curtail any of our essential services, but more importantly to free up some funds so as we could respond to matters such as parking trials, free parking trials, homelessness and better activation within our core retail area. I'm really delighted to see that the CEO and his senior staff and Mr Kent have done a remarkable job in freeing up several million dollars to the tune of $2.22 million in recurrent savings without any impact upon the operations of the city. There's been savings of $3.6 million with relating to one-off operating costs, and we've been able to look at the overall capacity to deliver capital projects with a view to freeing up a further $2.4 million. This is only the start of a very long journey for the City of Perth in getting a control on recurrent expenses and being able to apply the rewards of that those savings into programs and facilities that will aid the ratepayers of the city. So I commend the changes to my fellow commissioners, and I thank the staff that have been involved in undertaking what has been an extremely difficult, complex and challenging task. Well done to you all. Commissioner Kosova.
Thank you, Chair Commissioner, but I have nothing further to add than what you've already said.
Okay, on that basis then, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Thanks. The item 13.11, adoption of the City of Perth Strategic Community Plan 2019-2029. Do I have somebody who is prepared to move the motion? Whoa, who got up first? I think it was Commissioner Kosova moved. You're prepared to second, Commissioner McMath? Okay, reluctantly. Good. Thank you. Commissioner Kosova, would you like to speak for the motion?
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. Only very briefly, there was some discussion on this item at the briefing session last week, and I won't regurgitate all of the comments that I provided at the time. Suffice to say that I think staff have done a tremendous job in pulling this together. It's not a complete rewrite or a change in alignment or direction of the City of Perth. It is the representation of a lot of close collaboration that has occurred between commissioners and staff involving the CEO and senior members of the organisation to reframe the direction and the strategic priorities of the city moving forward. But I have to stress that it is entirely aligned with all of the foundation principles that underpin previous versions of the strategic plan. So very commended to council and congratulate staff for their involvement.
Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. Commissioner Mao.
Thank you, Chair. Further to my fellow commissioners' accolades, I would like to add my sincere appreciation and acknowledgement of the efforts of staff to encapsulate the themes and the actions in such a concise and attractive way. In particular, I would like to note on page 13 the change that has been made with respect to the residential growth figure. that at the briefing last week we had the forecast growth in the city, and we now have a growth rate referred to as City of Perth Aspirational Target. I think it's really important that this aspirational target be included in this plan on the basis of the need for a sustainable city to have a healthy, vibrant growth in the population base. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner McMath, I'd just like to add something there. I'd love to see 50,000 people living in the city at this time. We haven't got that, and so we really need to aspire to that 90,000 people by 2050. I think it's an admirable aspiration, and I'm sure our expert planning staff will make it happen for us in due course. So, do you... Commissioner Kosova, do you wish to close the debate?
Thank you. Happy to do so.
Thank you. And before I put the motion, once again, I'd like to thank the staff. This is a major milestone in the our move towards restoring good governance to the city. So well done again to the staff involved. So I put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you. Motion is carried 3-0. What's the next one?
1319, page 330.
Wow. Okay, now commissioners, moving on to page 330, the internal audit 2019-220. I just need some clarification here. These are recommendations.
Sorry, through the chair.
Sorry?
Were we going to deal with item 13.13?
And 12.
Sorry, and 12.
My apologies.
They were confidential items behind closed doors at the end of the meeting.
Confidential items to be dealt with behind closed doors at the end of the meeting.
Sorry, through the chair, just as a point of clarification there. So item 13.13, in terms of the report and recommendation, is included in the public agenda papers, noting that there is some confidential material related to that, but the report proper, to my knowledge, is not confidential.
I don't know that it's a legal complexity. I think it's more of a legislative drafting issue, that when there is a confidential attachment, the meeting procedure has no option but to go behind closed doors. It's something I can explain offline. It's a bit of a quirk, but I think what we need to do is make sure, on the basis of full transparency, that anything that is said behind closed doors is also said out of in open office when that happens. So item back to 330. Okay, we move on to page 330, which is item 13.19 on the agenda, the internal audit 2019-20 investments audit. First question, just a question of clarification. These recommendations are essentially matters coming from the Audit and Risk Committee. So do we actually get the minutes of the Audit and Risk Committee to confirm?
Not at this meeting, no. It goes to the Council, Audit and Risk Committee.
Okay, good. Right then, that's probably a process issue we can deal with later. But, generally, the full minutes of the Audit and Risk Committee would come to the Council, and on that basis also provide for the opportunity to independently deal with any of the recommendations contained within the minutes that needed resolution. That's a reasonably standard convention around the place. Not saying that this is the wrong way to do it, but possibly is perhaps an improved way. On that basis, we're dealing with the investments audit now. We have a recommendation here, and it's the view of the commissioners that it doesn't necessarily reflect the outcomes of the audit meeting, in that the investment policy, including the mortgage-based investment, was going to be reviewed. Mr. Parker, you were there at the meeting. Is that your recollection of events?
Thank you.
I could be wrong.
Chair, Commissioner, at that particular meeting, I stated that I would undertake a review and bring that back to the Audit and Risk Committee via a discussion paper.
Thank you.
That would outline all of those matters.
Okay. If that is the case, Commissioners, might I suggest an item two on this motion that said that firstly, Council approves the investment audit 2019, and two, requests a review of the investment policy and the investments contained therein to be brought back via a discussion paper. Thank you. I'm happy to move that. Would you be prepared to second?
I'd be happy to second.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Commissioner Kosova.
Nothing to add.
Right. Then I have nothing further to add. I'll put the vote. Those in favour? 3-0. Thank you. Item... The next item on the agenda is the item 13.22, which is the matter of the Northbridge Special Entertainment Precinct, I need to forewarn affected stakeholders of the general elements that will be contained within a town planning scheme amendment that will be considered at a later date, and the need to engage with those people that might be affected by this change in town planning scheme. Recommended motion has been put in front of us. Would any commissioner be prepared to move? Thank you, Commissioner.
Sorry, through you, Chair, Commissioner, just noting that we have received a revised recommendation, so that is the one that I'd be proposing to move.
Indeed, yes, Commissioner. Okay. Are you moving that?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. For the benefit of the gallery, the motion is that Council endorses the following key elements that will inform the preparation of Amendment Number 41 to the City Planning Scheme Number 2 to introduce a Northbridge Special Entertainment Precinct. And these are that A, the boundary and core and frame entertainment areas of the Special Entertainment Precinct are to be as depicted in Attachment 13.22B, which is available in the Council agenda and also available on the Council website. B, implement an external amplified music noise level of 95 decibel within the core entertainment area and 79 decibel within the frame entertainment area. And C, existing entertainment venues situated within the proposed frame entertainment area that existed at the time of gazettal of the proposed special control area shall have an external amplified music noise level of up to 90 dB. Two, the Council endorses the convening of a special Council meeting on the 4th of December 2019 to consider the initiation of Amendment 41 to the City Town Planning Scheme Number 2. And three, immediately engage with property owners, stakeholders and occupiers on the proposed Northbridge Special Entertainment Precinct. So you have a change.
Through you, Chair Commissioner, just a couple of points.
Yes.
In terms of the first line that you read out, in my opinion, the words that you said are an improvement to the words that are printed. So the opening line of the recommendation is that Council 1 endorses the following key elements for the preparation of Amendment Number 41. Your words, though, which is what I...
To inform the preparation.
Yes, amendments that will inform the preparation of.
Yes.
And in Recommendation 1A at the end, it makes reference to the boundary core and frame being as depicted in Attachment 13.22B. It is actually 13.22A.
Thank you. That's well done. Thanks for that. Okay, do we have a seconder? Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Okay, do we, Commissioner Kosova, do you wish to discuss the matter, debate?
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. This Amendment 41 came to Council in October. It was deferred and there were four items raised by Council as the reasons for deferral, and fundamentally they raised a number of questions and issues which I understand administration is in the process of discussing and exploring further to provide the advice to those matters back to Council when it considers Amendment 41 proper at that next special Council meeting that's listed as Recommendation 2. From the preliminary feedback and conversations that I've had with senior city staff, I really commend them for the revised approach that they've taken. I think it's entirely or substantially more pragmatic and implementable than what the original version of Amendment 41 would be, and I think would strike the right balance, again from what I've seen, would strike the right balance in implementing these principles that are espoused in this recommendation to ensuring that there is continuing diversity and to reinforce the primacy of the Northbridge entertainment area as WA's preeminent entertainment capital, whilst also facilitating mixed-use development and more residential occupation and appropriate sensitive land uses within the area. And lastly, I would just note that it's, for the record, it's to my knowledge, and commissioners have briefly discussed this, that it's not the intent of this recommendation, or if it's adopted this resolution, to entirely preempt and prejudice or predetermine what the form and content of the scheme amendment is going to be when it's presented to Council next week, but rather just to provide some wayfinding for city staff as they refine the text to the amendment to ensure that it adheres to these general principles.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner McMath. Okay, yes, I too would like to acknowledge the staff on what has been a difficult and complex issue. I certainly am personally comfortable with what is being proposed. And now, of course, we move to a special council meeting. I agree and concur with Commissioner Kosova that the decision here today is not legally binding in terms of the amendment. It provides staff with comfort in terms of preparing the amendment, but and more importantly, it gives the city the opportunity to engage with affected stakeholders so they are fully aware of what we are likely to be discussing and voting upon on the 4th of December 2019. And if there is any dissent or objection to what we are proposing, then so be it. We should listen to it. In saying that, if the matter is approved, it will go then through to the Town Planning Scheme Amendment process, of which there is a statutory consultation process, and it will be certainly interesting to see what the state makes of the situation and how they react ultimately to this proposal. On that basis, Commissioner Kosova, do you wish to close the debate?
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. So closed.
Thank you. If that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Item is carried 3-0. Page 191. Thank you. Okay. Okay, we have the first confidential item, and for the benefit of those in the gallery, the reason we are closing the meeting for these items is twofold. One is matters we're about to discuss may involve personal details to members of the community, and secondly, matters relating to tenders and other grant applications may involve the release of commercial or trade secrets. So on that basis, could I please have a mover that council move behind closed doors? Thank you. That mover then moves that items 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 and 21 be dealt with behind closed doors. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Do you wish to speak to the motion? Okay, if that's the basis, I'll put it. Those in favour? Thank you. Would any members of the gallery please leave? If you want to stay outside and wait, you'll hear the outcomes of these deliberations probably in 15 to 20 minutes. Perhaps a bit sooner, sir. Thank you. Had in a band, I can remember a night like that. Now that we've moved on behind closed doors, the items that were carried. Firstly, item 3.12. The resolution of council is that the Design Advisory Committee comprise of Australian Institute of Architects, Mr. David Korotkin, Mr. Warren Kerr with the Deputy, Mr. Peter Hobbs, Planning Institute of Australia, Mr. Chris Milsom, Mr. Andrew Howe, Deputy, Mr. Ben DeMarchi, Landscape Architects Institute of Australia, Mr. Stuart Pulley Blank, Deputy Tony Blackwell, Office of Government Architect, Mr. Jeff Warren, Deputy Melinda Payne. City of Perth, Jason Miriaglotta, the Deputy Craig Smith. Item 13.13 was moved as published.
Do you actually have to read the set if there's no colour?
Yeah, no, I have to read them out. I just need to confirm these as I go through just to make sure. Can you please give me the page numbers again? Page 1, 1. I just need to be sure.
So up here.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's 191. Great. One night I had to read out because it wasn't as public. It had been changed. Item 13.13. Okay, that council approves event grants totaling approves events grants to the following applicants: Sports Aircraft Association, $35,000; Brookfield Commercial Operations, $25,000; HBS. That's right, isn't it? Because it wasn't. That wasn't as published. We changed it.
We only changed two elements to that.
Yeah, but it's been changed, though.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. HBF Health Limited, $36,500. Perth Indonesian Community Incorporated, $13,327. Buddha's Light International, $25,000. West Australian Marathon Club, $5,000. Rowing WA, $7,000. Japan Festival Incorporated, $15,000. Farming Champions, $5,000. Mother's Day Classic Foundation, $5,000. T-Ball Association, $5,000. WA Brewers, $5,000. Declines the events for Carolyn James Events Proprietary Limited, Beer Fest Number 1, Lifeline WA, Skating at Festival Australia and Perth Glendy Association, authorises the CEO to finalise negotiations, etc. 13.14 as published. 13.15 as published. 13.20 as published. 13.21 as published. And obviously the final motion that council move from behind closed doors. They are the items that were discussed behind closed doors. Motions of which previous notice have been given?
There are none, Chair Commissioner.
Urgent business?
And there isn't any from officer perspective.
Okay. No urgent business from the commissioners, I trust. Okay, on that basis then, I'll happily declare the meeting closed at 7:15. Thank you all for your attendance.